everybody. Wendy Sellers here, the HR lady. I am here with my co-host back from vacation, JC.
How you doing?
I am doing fantastic. Well, not really. A bunch of things in my house are falling apart, but you know what? Worst things could happen. And so, you know, we're just going to get to the point here so I can finish this podcast, educate people, and then go fix my roof.
Just a little mahalo, aloha. Just take it easy and chill. Ain't no stress. You'll get to it. You'll get to it.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of the motto that I've got to live by is, you know, create a plan, ask for help, and hope that things go right. And then if it still doesn't go right, then you got to pay for something.
Yeah,
and or cry.
Right.
Hey,
right.
What I want to talk about today is, first of all, welcome back from your vacation. I'm glad you had some time to explore the country, catch up with friends. I also had a vacation myself, so I did work a little bit through it, but it was amazing just to be able to walk around and kind of not really have an agenda.
Yeah.
And I think this kind of fits into our topic today. Our topic right now is about, you know, talent shortages, and then maybe using upskilling of your current talent or new talent to create the skills needed that you're short of. And, you know, I learned a lot when things break in your house. Don't you learn a lot? Because you're like, it's usually you learn something because you fixed it wrong and then you go to YouTube.
Yeah.
And then you go back, you're like, oh yeah, I should have done it that way. Now I got to redo it, but I can guarantee I'll never do it the wrong way again.
Look at that, YouTube putting Bob Vila out of business, one episode of whatever it is you're looking for at a time, I tell you.
It really is. But you have to be careful even on that, because if you're taking advice, I mean, you're in New York, I'm in Florida. Let's just say we're talking about a roof, right?
Yeah.
Your roof and your roof supplies in New York are completely different than my roof and my roof supplies and hurricane requirements in Florida. So if I was watching a New York YouTube roof repair and I do that in Florida, I'd probably be in trouble.
Yeah, won't work out the way you want. Right.
Definitely won't. But seriously, though, I have so many people, my clients, just friends, everybody talking about all these openings they have in their current workplace and that they can't find people. Now, you also hear all the negative Nellies. Oh, nobody wants to work. I personally don't think that's the case. You're always going to have a small percentage of people who don't want to work. But generally speaking, I think what it really comes down to, and you tell me what your thoughts are on this, JC, I think it comes down to the fact that we have humans, they do want to work, but they don't have the skills, and not many people have the skills that are necessary today in today's workforce. So we have to hire somebody for their other skills, their knowledge, their attributes, their willingness to learn, their fit with our company vision, our values. And then we have to be willing to take the time and the money to train them on the skills that we need.
I don't disagree with you. And when we look at the current headlines right now, Spotify, they've laid off 200 employees, or about 2% of its workforce. Tech companies in the Bay Area of California, they're sending hundreds of people off into the streets right now. Even ESPN is sitting with looming layoffs. I remember, and I'm old, ladies and gentlemen, I'm old. You put me in a revolving door, I'll get lost. I will. Trust me on this one. Okay. I remember back in the early 2000s, Wendy, when we were going through the digital transition at the television station that I worked for. And during that time, across our station and the entire network that I belonged to, engineers were losing their jobs left and right. Now, these aren't people that are driving trains. These engineers are making television happen. They're playing tapes, they're putting in carts, they're doing switcher duties, all this stuff. And it was being replaced with automation. One of the sad things was more organizations were laying people off and just letting them go to the streets and then looking to hire people with the skills that they needed, and they would find some. But what they didn't have was that historical knowledge that went with the organization or the network, because they already let those people go. I'm a huge advocate of taking that workforce and trying to upskill and transition that. There's so much institutional knowledge in the people that you currently have in place right now. Taking Spotify, for instance, you're going to lay off 200 employees. How many of those 200 could you upskill, transition, and fit into the scheme of where you're heading for the future? Now, my personal thoughts aside, from some research here, 47% of technologists are considering leaving their current position in order to expand their responsibilities and skill set. And although 87% of HR directors are confident in their partnership with technology leaders for upskilling, only 57% currently plan technical skill development together in conjunction. And lastly, 97% of human resources and L&D directors prefer to hire from within rather than hire for open positions. So with all these stats on the table, I have to ask myself, when we hear about these layoffs and we hear about the shortage of workers, why is it, if there's so much support for upskilling, why hasn't it been taking more of center stage till just now?
You know, my thoughts are that the learning and development staff, the HR staff, the managers, because you may not have HR, you may not have learning and development, you probably have managers, they're just overwhelmed. And they're like, I don't have time to do my current job, never mind train people on skills. And so, of course, it would be ideal to be like, oh, we have this amazing candidate. They have the character that we want and they have the skill that we want. We're going to hire them. You know, that old adage of hire for character, not for skill.
Right.
That has been a statement, I think, from the early 80s, and we still ignore it. Yeah. You know, it's like it's been around, that comment, that statement has been around forever. And I find that when we hire people just for the skill, for the license, for the engineering degree, whatever it is, don't get me wrong, there's some jobs that you have to have a license for that job or a degree for that job. But for the most part, it's the companies that make that decision, not, you know, the state or the country that makes that decision. And I think it just comes down to the fact that people don't have their, part of my language, they don't have their shit together. You know, the companies don't have their ducks in a row. They don't have a plan. It's a wish list that, yeah, we're going to create a learning and development program. Yes, we're going to do an assessment and find out what skills we're lacking. And then we're going to do training for them based on our current staff, or even hiring external staff who were laid off somewhere else. And we've done this huge assessment during hiring and we know what they're lacking, but then they just don't have their ducks in the order to actually implement it. And by the time they figure that out, the new hire or the current employee is saying, peace out, I'm out of here. Yeah. I'm going somewhere else where somebody is going to train me like they said they would, and not going to be mad at me that I'm taking a little bit longer to figure out the skill.
Well, but you're exactly right. And to that point, and I'm sorry for jumping on you right there, but point, Wendy, they may also be in a situation where they're matriculating into a workforce that is in the process of transitioning. And now that new hire that you promised these things to is learning bad habits that you're trying to change within the culture and the organization. And you blew it. You blew it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's 100% the truth. And I mean, I see all over social media, and I'm sure you do too, where, you know, very experienced and skilled people are applying for 50, 60 jobs and not one person has called them back, or they're saying you're overqualified. And it's like, listen, even if I am overqualified in whatever and I'm applying to your job and your job description was written accurately and it says these are the skills that you need and this is what we're going to train you on and this is what the pay is, if your job ad is very clear of the job itself and then even the training that's available, who cares if I have more skills than you know is necessary? I know that you're going to explain it to me again during the interview process and then again during the offer process and then again during the orientation process. So that's, you know, when we need to take their awesome skills and use them, but then also maybe reskill them. So teach them other skills or improve. Upskilling is improving. Reskilling is, you know, taking outdated skills and teaching them new skills. So whatever you want to call it, upskilling, reskilling, bottom line is we need to train people for our environment, our requirements. And if our environment and our requirements are newer, There's no way you're going to magically pick a unicorn out of the air and just put them into your job and say, yep, start working today. And guess what, folks that are listening? That never happened. It was never successful like that. Right now, we just happen to have a shortage of humans. But do we? That's my other question. Like, yeah. Do we really have a shortage of humans? It's kind of like in the days of automation, way, way, way back when we started automating things. All those people that were manual labor workers, putting things in boxes, putting labels on cans, whatever it is, all of a sudden automation came and their jobs went away. Well, they didn't stop working. Other companies were smart and say, we'll take you and we'll upskill or reskill and we'll teach you skills for our company that we need now because you're an awesome person. You know, your character is awesome. And so that's where it comes back to hire for character, train for skill. But you really have to actually do the training.
All right. I'm going to throw a hypothetical out for you here. I do have more stats and great things, but I want to use this example. Let's say you have a talented employee within your crew. That talented employee is doing a job that is going to be phased out. They believe in the culture. They're not a bad person, but their job is definitively on the chopping block, along with many others. But this one kind of stands out because they have some of the core qualities you're looking for, like you mentioned. And they're making $75,000 a year. You're going to transition them into a spot where maybe you want to send them through the Project Management Institute. You want to get a PMP certification for the individual. The certification training cost is going to be, let's say, approximately $3,500. And then maybe they take the exam one time for $555, fail it, and have to take it again, right? Now they spent that $555 twice. We're going to ballpark the fact that we're at $4,500, maybe $5,000 in total. And now you have a skilled individual who has a PMP certification that believes in the organization and wasn't let go.
Right.
Under $6,000. Now, of course, during that time, I'm sure that there could be costs that we could associate with time during the workday that might be attributed to their training and what's the impact of that, et cetera. But when we get down to it, if they get through what they need to do within a 30-day time frame, you could still be looking at a total soft investment cost of, let's say, $20,000 to $26,000 overall, okay? How much does it cost to recruit someone new? What's the average cost of replacing an employee?
Sure. So I actually just looked this up and I kind of knew what it was. And it's hard to really say this because, you know, hiring a high school intern and then hiring a 20-year experienced professional are two different things. But there's a bunch of studies that are out there. This one is, I think it's from the SHRM. It says the average cost per hire is $4,700. It takes 36 to 42 days to fill the average position in the United States. Okay. And it could cost up to 40% of an employee's base salary to hire a new employee with benefits. So it's pretty expensive and you've lost all that time, all that knowledge, all that institutional knowledge. You've lost relationships. And to be quite honestly, even if it takes you 30 days, never mind 36 to 42 days to fill the position, you know, that job is just sitting there empty, nothing getting done versus maybe partially getting done with somebody who's saying, hey, thanks for putting me in. Thanks for investing in me. Thanks for trusting me and showing me that you trust me as well.
Right. Right. According to Randstad, as last year's hiring frenzy came to a close and talent leaders regained their composure, they were determined to build a more sustainable, engaged, skilled, and agile workforce that's going to help their organization thrive in today's complexity beyond today into the future, regardless of what that future holds. In 2023, 77% of talent leaders say total value creation is more important to them than cost savings. And that's a 32-point increase over the statistics that they had from 2022. And according to a comprehensive new Korn Ferry report, more than 85 million jobs could go unfilled by 2030 due to a lack of skilled workers.
Here's another statistic, too. This is from HBS data, and it says it can take up to 6 months for a company to make up the money it spent on a new hire. So why not take a current hire or maybe even a former employee that maybe you did have to do a layoff and you're like, you know what? Or they left and you're like, man, I really love that person's attitude. They were willing to, you know, do whatever it took to get the job done. Everybody enjoyed working with them. Let's bring them back. Put them back on the benefits, back on the payroll, and get them to training so that we can take this company and move it forward. So, you know, these are some serious, pretty serious numbers. If you don't have anybody on your team that is worth upskilling, then you're doing something wrong.
To supplement what she's saying, according to an organization called Sumtotal, Sumtotal, look them up. Upskilling and reskilling is nearly 60% of leadership and development's pros top priorities currently. A strong upskilling program does have positive impact on the company culture, according to 60% of CEOs. A soft skills focused workforce training program returned a 250% return on investment once installed. And in the next 5 years, 50% of all employees will require reskilling anyways. Workers' opportunities to reskill and upskill have become more limited in an increasingly competitive labor market. And according to the World Economic Forum, 40% of core skills will change in the next 5 years for those workers expected to stay in their roles. And 50% of all employees will wind up requiring reskilling. Skills gaps, they're going to widen as in-demand skills shift across jobs over the next 5 years. Employers expect the following skills and skill groups to become increasingly important in the years leading up to 2025. That's analysis of critical thinking, problem solving, learning that's active learning, resilience, stress tolerance, and adaptability.
Two other things I want to say before we wrap this up is, according to Visier, it's Visier.com, 32% of employees who changed jobs within the past year did so to learn new skills. I think that's amazing. Wow. That's a lot. That's almost a third of your workforce that if they're checking out and you say, why are you leaving? Oh, we have great benefits. We have great pay. We have a great culture. Like, I'm bored out of my mind here, man. I want new skills and you're not offering it to me. And so I'm going to take it elsewhere. The last thing that I want to say is, listen, if you're sitting here listening to our podcast and going, well, where am I going to get this money to do the training? You know, one option you can do is go to your, for the folks in the United States, go to your state, career, like your workforce. So it's often called the unemployment office. And there's the unemployment office in every state has two sides of it. They have a division that helps employers, and then they have a division that helps unemployed people. And so you want to go to the employer division, and every single state has something. Now, your county or your city might not have it, and they may not have it for your industry, but they have free money available to companies that live in those zip codes and in those states to use for specifically for upskilling, for reskilling, for training, for technology programs. And some of those, they're grants is what they are. Some of them do not need to be paid back. Many of them pay 50%, 75%, or even 100% of the training program. And then some of the grants actually cover not only the training program itself, but also the pay of the employees, specifically new hires, during their training period.
Oh, wow.
So you're really running out of excuses of, okay, I don't have any money. If you can't find information on your in your state, just give me a call. My email is wendy@thehrlady.com. I know where to find most of them. And your local colleges usually work with the unemployment office as well. And they might have access and training already set up that you just have to wait for the class to open up. And then you enroll your people and it's free or very, very low cost. So again, running out of excuses of why we're going to not train, upskill or reskill our employees so that we could stop saying there's a talent shortage, because there's really a skill shortage is what it is. Don't get me wrong. There is a little bit of a talent shortage because, I don't know, thousands and thousands and thousands of baby boomers have retired, and they were the biggest part of our workforce, and they're going to continue to retire, and more people, you know, the younger individuals aren't always having babies, so we're not 100% repopulating. So these skills are very, very important. You've got one last thing to say, JC?
Yeah, Wendy, when you're thinking about Florida, your state, would that be the Florida Department of Economic Opportunity, or that's something different altogether?
They're all connected. They're all so okay. I live in the state of Florida. The unemployment office here, they're all called Career Source.
Oh, gotcha.
So there's Career Source of X County, Career Source of this county, or there's regions too. It's kind of weird, but they're generally speaking, they're every state has it. Not right. Every state has excellent programs,
I have to admit, I need to book a call with you. I'm not familiar. Let's get that on the books. Wow,
yeah,
that's some great knowledge.
Anybody wants my help, shoot me an email, connect with me on LinkedIn, Wendy Sellers, the HR lady. In the meantime, what I did want to also say, if anybody that's listening today has any kind of training event, whether it's a conference or a small training, big training, I'm a trainer, JC's an MC, contact one of us. JC, how can they contact you?
Yeah, best way is to stop by jimconnors.net, JIMCONNORS.NET. More than happy to help you out anytime.
All right. Thanks for joining us, folks. See you soon.